You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Sugar, spice, and everything nice, along with the will to rock. These are the ingredients you would use to build a girl. Eh?
Yeah, it's good.
Well, you also need some hair dye.
Yeah.
Hair dye,
fedora.
And a killer top hat. I mean, come on.
Killer We're here.
Well, fishnets and Doc Martens absolutely help. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was a cute look, though. I don't know if that was the point or not, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah, I loved it.
So we're here. Me, Bradley Martin, is here to talk about how to build a girl with Frank.
Hello.
And we won't be doing this alone. We'll be with Harmony.
An actual girl.
I know. And Harmony, you were the last one to sign on for this.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you did, because I thought, man, it's gonna be real, sausage fest talking about how to build a girl. It's not gonna seem all that, all that accurate.
No, it's always good to get a woman's perspective on a film about a woman or a coming of age story.
I'm glad I signed on to watch it because. All right. Yeah.
Now that protagonist who's coming of age, Joanna Morrigan, played by Beanie Feldstein. What did you think of this character, Harmony?
I really liked her. I did not know that she wasn't British, so that was surprising. Just learned that 2 minutes ago.
She's actually American in real life.
Yeah, Beanie Feldstein.
She's American. Yeah. She's from Los Angeles. Yeah, I loved this movie. Being a curvy girl myself, I totally felt all that teen angst and wanting to explore and be different before you become yourself. So I really love this character. I thought she was super cute.
How about you, Frank? What did you think of her performance and the character's journey?
Well, I think it's a really great character. Beanie Feldstein really, really sort of came into her own in Booksmart. Well, she had a little bit of a supporting role in Lady Bird, which she was great in. And then Booksmart really like put her on the map. And I think this is a really great follow-up. This is a great character. This is someone who doesn't really hate where she came from, but knows that she's more than where she came from. And she's got dreams. She's got ambition. And it's so great to see a young female protagonist embracing those dreams and those ambitions and going for them. And I love that she's letting that carry her. And you can feel it in the performance really, really strongly. And it's this current that really just carries, the whole film. The strongest reason to watch this film is her.
I loved how weird she was.
Well, yeah, but the weirdness is like her finding herself, isn't it? It's like her trying to find what mold she fits into. And that's so true, because everyone's weird in that sense.
No, absolutely. And this coming of age, there is a synopsis to it. It's not just Beanie riffing on being a girl slowly turning into a woman. No.
This is not a Judy Blume novel, no.
Yeah.
No.
Reference.
So our character, Joanna, she is the daughter of a, I would say, ambitious musician who never got a record deal. Finds that she is actually very good in writing. So good, in fact, that she won a contest and gets to read something she wrote on the television. Word gets out about her reading on television, rather embarrassing reading, you could say, but leads to some people in London who think, hey, why don't you come write for us? Write about the nightlife of a rock star and the death metal and speed metal. I've read this book by author Caitlin Moran, who also actually wrote the screenplay. She goes into great detail in the novel about the death metal, the speed metal, the rock. In the movie, not so much. But what would you say the kind of writer she is in the film?
I think she's a very experiential writer. I think she really writes about not so much the technical and genre or anything like that. She really writes about the emotion and the sensation of the music.
No, absolutely.
I can see her being, you know, that's obviously her more creative writing side of her, the more literary side of her. That's just the way she absorbs it, and that's the way she feels it. And, you know, it obviously flows through her writing. And I love that about her. That makes her more of a romantic character, I think.
Oh, definitely romantic. She loves her metaphors, you know. Like, it was just like listening to her writing, it was just like metaphor on top of metaphor. And it was just like, this is exactly what a teenager who wants to be a great writer would write. You know, it was a very believable character.
Because they're so pure, not jaded or cynical yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And she wants love and experience and sex and, you know, she wants to be appreciated for who she is. Yeah.
Well, she gets the sex.
And she gets that, sort of.
That's kind of my favorite montage of the film. We don't need to get the spoilers. But
she is like a dude in that scene. She's like, yeah, I got laid, I did this, yeah,
I've had a ton of sex.
And her brother, by the way, is cute as a button. I thought her brother was so adorable.
Oh, cute little,
yeah,
little yeah. And he's like Chrissy,
yeah. He's like please make this stop, please. Like, I can't listen to this anymore. Yeah, I love that. That was a good montage.
And what was really interesting for me for the film is that it took me a little bit to figure out what time frame it was, and I think it was because her family was poor. So like it took me a little bit to, I was like what time of the world is this, you know? It took me like a little bit to
me too,
and I finally said it was probably like early to mid 90s.
There's something in the film, and I don't know when, but it was much later on, I think at least in the midpoint,
right,
where it's like, oh, it's 1993, okay. All right.
Exactly. Yeah, it was early to mid 90s. Yeah, I think it was just because her family was poor, and that's another big part of this movie is that she ends up like taking care of her family, financially, which is not something you ever want to put on a child. Just speaking from teaching experience, like, you don't ever want to make the child the confidant or the breadwinner. It's emotionally damaging. They played that up really well in this movie. I mean, I found it to be believable. Like, this is, this is absolutely what could happen. Yeah.
Like, you certainly don't want your kid in a position where they don't need school.
Right.
Like, that argument of, well, you go to school to get a job. I have a job, so I don't need school. That, as a parent, I can say, that's a terrifying situation, is what I'm going to say. I would not know how to combat that argument.
When they feel they come to the supposed realization that they don't need school, I mean, that's just that's frightening. How do you reverse that? That's just difficult. And I kept on forgetting that she was still in school.
Yeah,
she was in such a different world for all intents and purposes. You know, showing that she could fit in and belong in that world.
Like when they said, oh, it's only been 6 months, like, it's been 6 months? You know, oh my God, that's a lot to happen.
That's a lot of life in 6 months.
Well, what I found interesting, this goes as well for the novel. I like to say that I've read things, so sorry about having to put everyone through that. But I think her performance is great in the sense that she's doing all these things almost to prove to herself that she can. Like, there isn't a boy that she's trying to impress, or there isn't a kind of generation she's trying to escape.
Yeah.
She's just like, yeah, I could be a rock writer. I could totally do that.
Isn't that great? I love that about this movie. That was amazing. I do like it when you know, the heroine wants to prove her worth. You know, show the man that she can do it. I think it's equally powerful, if not more so powerful, that to watch, you know, a female protagonist prove to herself that she can do it. You know, squash her own self doubts and her own, you know, insecurity. And
right, and she's not like a classic beauty or anything. Like, you know, she's a short, curvy girl,
and she's so confident. I love that, you know, the idea of image really never came into this. I mean, it comes into it a little bit.
Like, they mentioned her weight in the hot tub scene, right? You know, kind of one of the turning points for her film.
For the most part, image was never really an issue in terms of how popular she was, how accepted she was.
Once she became Dolly Wilde.
Yeah, exactly. It was her bravado. It was her persona. It was her energy that she brought into the room with her. It was her tenacity. That's what really made her attractive and really put the spotlight on her, I thought.
Absolutely. Well,
also, Beanie Feldstein was the best dressed at the Oscars this year.
Oh, I didn't see the. I can't remember the last time I watched the Oscars. I mean, I have drunken nights. I YouTube old Oscar clips, old Billy Crystal Oscar openings.
yeah,
Whoopi Goldberg was, but I haven't watched Oscars in a long time. But was she there?
She was, and she was gorgeous.
Okay.
Very well dressed.
That is awesome. I'm all for it. And I'm all for like normalizing bigger bodies, because still in Hollywood or in all these other places, it's still okay to laugh at somebody with a bigger body. And the fact that she was able to be this bravado and beautiful and passionate and smart and everything that you tell little girls that they want to be. And I loved it. Like it was very touching to me. Like I was moved in a lot of it.
Well, it's because she's good. She's a good actress, and she's an American. She's the only American in this cast of Brits. And
she holds her own.
I can imagine anybody else playing this role. I mean, would you want to see a version of this with Emma Watson in it? I mean, I personally wouldn't. But, sorry.
Well, speaking of the big cast, we have John Kite, rock star, played by Alfie Allen. What did you guys think of Alfie Allen?
he's just as dreamy as can be.
Oh, man.
Did you guys know he was attractive? I didn't know that Theon Greyjoy was hot until this movie.
Right. Yeah, I was like, oh, he cleans up really well when he's all in.
I didn't used to find Alfie Allen that attractive, but in this film, I think he had that scruff. I think there's the coat.
The rock star aura.
The swagger.
He's got the swagger. Yeah. In terms of the characters, I think there was... I could have done without the montage of imaginary heroes on the wall.
I like the
her wall of
heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was cute, but I think the movie is so strong in terms of the real life people that populate her world. Like, I mean, even the teacher, I was really struck by the moments with her teacher. I love that her teacher really was not this like the stern, get your homework done on time teacher. She really did recognize her potential and really cared about where she was heading. In terms of her own journey, and I love that it was one of the witches from Stardust as well.
God, I love that.
It's like you played Michelle Pfeiffer's sister in that movie Stardust. It's cool, but
and now Frank is totally meshed in the movie now. It's like he can go.
I like that. I think the side characters are so colorfully written, and I don't think that any of them are shortchanged. I mean, the mom has a really great, when her dad, bless his heart, is still trying to keep the idea of the rock career alive, and he sells the family van to publish some copies of an album he's created, and the mom pops her head out the window of the outside of the house, and he's like, oh my God, you're like a ghost. He's like, yeah. She's like, yeah, I manifest myself whenever someone sells my van.
I'd be a lot more mad.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I would not be as witty, but or as quick. But I love that about this movie. It's so intricate and it's so detailed, and nothing is really just like thrown away or taken for granted in terms of just anything on the side dressing.
Yeah, nothing feels superficial. Like it feels real. It feels real. Like these are like real people, real wants and dreams and heart and all that. And it's just, I'm so glad I signed up last to watch this.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Harmony, why don't you lead the final thoughts?
Final thoughts, being the girl in high school in the fishnets and Doc Martens. Yes, that was me. Chubby girl, with a lot of big dreams. I really enjoyed this movie. It's got warmth and heart, and highly recommend for anybody, but especially if you have that older teenage girl who's trying to find herself. Like just that idea that you can build yourself up a million times after you've broken yourself down. Like you just get up and you just keep going, and you can be whoever you want to be. And I I loved it. I can't rave highly enough about this movie. So I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10 exploding disc shot really precariously from a rooftop.
Nice. All right, Frank.
Yeah, I got to echo a lot of what Harmony said. This was such a charming film, and I love that it's about writing, and writing is not the sexiest thing to put on screen. Visually, it doesn't film well. It's not really, you can't really do a lot of good montages with someone writing. But I think this movie really, because of the character, because of the way it's written, because the passion that she's been given, it really shows what I think writing means to her, how she's able to express herself through her words, through her vocabulary, and how she grows through it, how she changes through it, how she stumbles through it. I think all of that is shown, and shown well, and it's all, you know, really anchored by a great, great performance from Feldstein and all these really fantastic supporting characters as well. It's really breezy. It might be a little bit too breezy at times. Things happen a little bit too rapidly, but you know, there is a time length that, you know, a movie like this should only be, you know, they ain't filming Gandhi, so you know, we gotta wrap it up at a certain point. But and that's fair enough. But I think the heart of this film is true, it's pure, it shines through, and I love that last bit when she breaks the fourth wall. There's no spoiler alert here, really. It's good. It hides the rest of the story. But when she looks at the camera and says, "Remember, you did it all for a girl. Yourself." I really love that.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, isn't it? And it's always remembering that, you know, every choice you need to make should be for the benefit of yourself, in a sense, you know. It really should. You really need to take care of yourself and further yourself and do right by yourself. And I think this movie really does a good job of hammering that home. I really love this. I think this is a really sweet film. I hope as many people see this as possible, especially right now. So yeah, I gotta give this 9 out of 10 Emma Thompsons, because we love Emma Thompson, and she's only in one scene here, but she's at her most Emma Thompsonist, and we love that.
It's true. Very true. Her most Emma Thompsonist. Emma Thompson. Yes.
Yeah.
Emma Thompson it up. Well, I probably won't rate it as highly as either of you, because I love Emma Thompson. We're talking those weird top five conversations you have with your spouse. Emma Thompson is on there, right next to Helen Mirren.
Your favorite Emma Thompson movie now. Go.
And she's Emma Thompson was, but she was not in this movie, and I'm actually still bitter about that.
Well, what's your favorite Emma Thompson performance?
My favorite Emma Thompson, probably Sense and Sensibility.
Nice.
Now.
Nice.
Oh.
So many people do that when I say that. They're like, ew, that one? Anyways, I'm excited to see what Beanie Feldstein does next. You know, this I haven't seen Booksmart yet either. This was a very well-done performance. A born lead, I would say, is beautifully the balance between comedic, socially awkward, and vulnerable. Chef's kiss. Love everything about that performance. Disappointed that a film about writing about music didn't have any music in it worth talking about. That was awkward for me, guys. I didn't care for that. I don't know if it was copyright issues or...
I think that's a legitimate point, that the music isn't really that memorable in this film. No,
at
all. That's true. It's not the most banging soundtrack you're going to hear. I mean, but it's also IFC, so they can only afford, I mean, their budget's probably only so much, I guess they couldn't afford, you know, The Weeknd or whatever. I mean,
and that's why I'm not going to be like beat the movie up over it too bad.
Or, you know,
I'm not
gonna... these days.
Exactly. Yeah, it's cool to see Alfie Allen and other stuff. Probably the MVP of that final season of Game of Thrones, other than, I'd say, Emilia Clarke. So I enjoyed seeing him. Surprised how sexy he was. That was pretty cool. Like that he had that like roguish, oh, I'm a rock star. And like, you know.
That rock star aura, is a real thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's also not a stereotype. What I love in this film is like, there's no real stereotypes of people. There's people who everyone you think is going to fit into like a certain prototype. And everyone is given at least a couple of lines of dialogue or a couple of moments to.
Yeah, to show that people are layered. Yeah. Exactly. You know, people are far more interesting than their hobbies. I think was a good message in this film. And I'm going to give this, we'll go with 7 dog poems during 10 live broadcasts.
A good healthy B+, yes.